Blog Talk Radio.
What is going on, everyone, and welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. It is Friday Eve. What is going on today in the world of sports? Opening day. And we resume March Madness. So much going on. Hopefully everyone's having a good day. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. We're brought to you by the one only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally at Chandler Heights and Alma School. Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco now serving beer and wine. You can also become a club member, get a locker and a backflip to the humidor, and never worry about the sticks going bad. Also, the good part is you go in there, you mention KLR sent you. 10% off of your cigar purchase. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Channel Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Again, let them know that PLR sent you that 10% off of your cigar purchase. There are some restrictions and limitations. You get down there and check them. Thank you for joining me this Friday's Eve. There's so much going on. Like I said, you can give us a call if you like. Call in line is 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. That is the K-Law line. A couple things I want to hit you with early. It is opening day, and I'm going to show my age on this one. I remember when opening day started with the Reds. That's not a bad thing that it doesn't. I guess there's progress, but when I was younger, that was always such a tradition, watching the Reds play the very first game to start the season. ESPN opened the day up with the Yankees and the Orioles, team that's expected to win the World Series versus a team that wouldn't be expected to beat LSU. And so far, it is going pretty true to form. Yankees up 7-2. It is the bottom of the eighth, and ESPN is doing a long list of opening games. This will be followed by, I don't know why I'm pubbing them, but you have the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks up next. It's really not pubbing them. It's more or less pubbing the D-backs, who are still reeling a little bit from the loss of Steven Souza, who just tore his knee apart. Second to last spring training game against the Chicago White Sox. He is definitely done for the season. And a lot of changes around Major League Baseball. And, yeah, I'm still scratching my head a little bit about the Diamondbacks letting the face of their organization go to the St. Louis Cardinals, who in turn re-upped him 5 years for $130 million. And I really want everyone to put this in perspective, because I'm not calling the Diamondbacks cheap. You have guys like Mike Trout, obviously the best player in baseball, signing for $426 million over 13 years. You get Bryce Harper signing for $330 million over 13 years. And you get the kid that signed in San Diego, Manny Machado, 10 years for $300 million. You mean the Diamondbacks didn't have 5 years at $130 for the guy that's been the face of your organization for the last 6, 7 years? You couldn't squeeze that out? The pennies were that tight? I mean, at 5 years, $130 million, you know Goldie is good for another 4 or 5 years. Now, even if he's not good 3 years in, that's not someone you can move. That's not someone you can trade. And I understand the whole analytics of go young, look what the Cubs did, look what the Astros did. Yeah, it'll suck for a year or two. But then after that, we'll build our farm system up and we'll start all over again. See, the problem is the Cubs pretty much told you that's what they were going to do. And the Chicago Cubs are a whole different animal, because those Northsiders, those Cub fans, they will go out and support the Cubs if they lose 160 games a year. They don't care. They will support the Cubs no matter what. Those games are going to sell out. The bleacher bums are going to be out. They're going to have their beer in their hand. When they win, they're going to sing that stupid Cubs are going to win today song. Cub fans are different. They are loyal fans. They are the epitome of what a loyal fan is. They, if you look at the Cardinals lose a lot, right? And they sell out games just because the NFL sells out games. But it's different. If you look at other teams that lose, it's different. Cub fans were losers so long that wait until next year, that phrase stopped bothering them, because they figured they're going to go out, they're going to see their Cubbies play, they're going to have a couple cold ones, they're going to enjoy the game, they're going to enjoy spring, they're going to enjoy summer, right there on in Wrigley, right there off the lakefront, enjoy those nice days, watch their team play, mostly day games, life is good. Diamondbacks don't have that same loyalty. They don't have that same fan base. The Diamondbacks at times last year looked like a team that could win a division. They still weren't selling out. The Cubs could be 15 games out of first in September. They will still sell out. So I think you got to know your market when you do the, oh, well, we'll lose and we'll get better, yada, 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 yada. It's just different. And I'm going to say be careful, because it is hard to replace a face of a team. The face of the team, personality-wise, has to fit in the city. It has to have a certain rapport with the fans. It has to do a whole – that person has to be not just a special player, but a special person. That's what makes Larry Fitzgerald so special down here in Phoenix. But we'll see what the Diamondbacks are doing. Open the day, Greinke's on the mound against the Dodgers. There's some rules that they say you cannot lose, you cannot win a pennant in March and April. That's true, but you sure the hell can lose it. You have to get off to a good start, and we'll see if that's what the Diamondbacks can do to start the season. Opening day, though, in baseball is great. You just feel like even if your team on paper isn't that good, you have so much hope that this might be the year. This might be the year that everything goes right. This might be the year my team breaks through. And that's what everyone's hoping for. Now, do I think that's legitimate? No, hell no. don't even think that's close to being true. There are certain teams that you pretty much can pencil in on day one and say that team has more than a puncher's chance to win the division and win the World Series. And without giving you this perfect breakdown of baseball and going through every single player on every single team, in all honesty, when you look at it in the American League, the Red Sox and the Yankees, the A's, depending on what happens with Cleveland with health, maybe Cleveland. And I apologize, I said the A's, I meant the Astros. And then you say, well, teams like maybe the Mariners, maybe the Angels, maybe the A's, maybe. And when you start throwing that word maybe out, you just don't know. But let's be honest. The Red Sox, Yankees, and the Astros first, followed by Cleveland, and then chips fall where they may. And then in the National League, so many people are picking the Nationals as a dark horse. The Phillies, since they signed Bryce Harper, made some other moves. The Cubs, obviously. The Dodgers, who will have no problem spending money. Those are the teams that stand out first, and then you start nitpicking your way down the rest. So you'll see. We shall see. But it's fun that baseball is back. And it's fun that the Diamondbacks get to open next week against the world champs, the Boston Red Sox. And yes, I will be out there covering that game.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLO.
You know what that means? We're transitioning to hoops, to the Suns, to the 50-point man, Devin Booker. Dropped 50 on Washington, fortunately in another Suns loss. And I'm trying to figure this out. So I don't know how to feel about this. And maybe talking it out will help me with it. So the Suns are bad. So I'm not giving you like this revelation that you didn't know that the Suns aren't very good right now. Right? I mean, I'm not telling you something you don't know. And it's funny because when you watch Devin Booker play, you're like, dang, what is going on? How is it that this guy can be this good and his team just can't seem to get it right? And how long will he continue to be this good before he wants out, before he says, I've had enough? I mean, just looking at the box score from the game last night against the Washington Wizards, it makes you think, will this dude ever get legitimate help? And I know he shot the ball 29 times. And you could say, oh, well, he shot so much, yada, yada, yada. But the closest guy behind him was 15 for Troy Daniels off the bench. Crawford threw in 12 off the bench. Dragan Bender, 12-point starter. And DeAndre Ayton, 14-point starter. And I'm going to give you a stat that's actually kind of interesting. And I'm not a big plus-minus guy going into this. So remember, I'm telling you off the jump, I'm not a big plus-minus guy. But Dragan Bender, starter, minus 9. Mikal Bridges, starter, minus 12. DeAndre Ayton, starter, minus 14. De'Anthony Melton, starter, minus 4. If these are the guys that's placed them up with you to go out, seems like you might need just a little more help. And then watching that game last night, I thought DeAndre Ayton did some nice things, but I'm going to just be honest. It's 14-10 was the stat stuff for 14-10. So, and I know, you don't want to get in the way of a guy that's going off, having a great shooting night. Yeah, but you still got to help him. Still got to help him. So I was listening to the radio today, and I like to listen to a bunch of different talk shows and a lot of different people, a lot of different personalities. And I have some I'm a fan of a lot of people in a lot of different markets, fan of people in this market. And hopefully some of them are fans of mine. And that came out terribly. Hopefully some of them are fans of me. But I heard something today that I thought was just outlandish. And I know there's a point where you can be a homer, but then there comes a point where you're like a ridiculous homer. And I think I heard that today. And as I was flipping through, and I flipped through different states, not just, you know, here or national shows. I like to listen to some of the local shows. And I peeped out a little bit of a couple guys on air in L.A. I heard one of the guys say that this year for the Lakers was not disappointing. It was not a fail. It was disappointing, excuse me. It was not a failure. Because so many people got hurt, and because LeBron got hurt, and he missed so many games, and he was still hurt when he came back, and yada, yada, yada. And honestly, this sounded like a big, extended, long crutch. And it really made me think of something Kevin Durant said, and I know he didn't mean it in a malicious way, or unless he did. But when he said something about, you know, playing with LeBron is toxic, and I'm paraphrasing, that it's toxic, and you got to be careful. No one really wants to play in that. And he had so many fanboys, and that made me stop and think when I heard that this morning about the fanboy part. I don't care who you are. If you're LeBron James and you missed X amount of games, I completely understand that. I do. I truly do. And the season may not turn out the way you wanted it to turn out. And I'm going to bring this up again when the season ends and we do our season wrap up. But on this very show, and everyone's going to go back and say, well, when they played Golden State on Christmas Day, they were six games better than 500 and yada, yada, yada. And they hadn't gotten to the entire meat of their schedule yet either. See, everyone keeps telling me that, and I keep reminding them, but even with that win over Golden State, they were 2-4. They had only won two out of their last six games. But no one wants to remember that. No one wants to act like that is what happened. The memory for Lakers fans and LeBron fans, they just completely leave that part out. When they went into that game, they were 19-14. 19-14. But they had lost to Houston. They beat Charlotte. They had lost to Washington, to Brooklyn, beat New Orleans, and had lost to Memphis. Let me do that math for you again. They were 2-4 going into that game. And yes, they righted the ship after a slow start, but you got to look at who they righted it against. They had one good win against Indiana, and then they beat a Dallas team, a Phoenix team, a San Antonio team, which was playing terribly at that time. But then they also lost to a San Antonio team that was playing terribly at that time. They beat Memphis, and they beat Miami, who's borderline out of the playoffs. They go to Golden State on Christmas Day, and they win, and everyone was like, oh, they're going to the first half before LeBron got hurt. Oh, they're going to the finals. Look what they're doing, the Golden State. The speed of boo. And I understand that. And then I understand that LeBron went on to miss a bunch of games. I mean a bunch of games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Missed like 18 to 20 games. And their record, went from, and let me say this again, because everyone makes it seem like that was the downfall of everything. When they beat Golden State on Christmas Day, their record was 20-14. When LeBron James came back to LA, when he came back, they were 26-25, and then they won the next game against against the LA Clippers to make 27-25. So let me give you the record again. 27-25 when LeBron came back. When he left, they were 20-14. So they had a sub 500 winning record, but they were still without him, but they were still head above water when he came back. Then they lost with him to Golden State, playoff team, Indiana, playoff team, but without Oladipo. They beat Boston, playoff team, but they lost to Atlanta. I mean, a Philly, playoff team. Atlanta, not a playoff team. Then they had that miraculous comeback against Houston, and everyone said, oh, they're back. LeBron James was there. LeBron James was there. But then they lost to New Orleans and to Memphis. And then they beat New Orleans in that ridiculous after the playoffs, blah, 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 bull crap. And even when they beat them, they were 30-31 with LeBron. And then they went on to lose to Milwaukee, no shame. Phoenix, shame. LA Clippers, no shame. Denver, no shame. Boston, no shame. Beat Chicago, lost to Toronto, no shame. Detroit, eh. New York, shame. Milwaukee, no shame. Brooklyn, no shame. These are all games with LeBron. And people are saying, well, maybe he was hurt, you know, after the All-Star break. Then he shouldn't have played in the All-Star game. He played 6 games before the All-Star break. Folks, let facts get in the way of the truth. The Lakers were a team when LeBron James came back from injury. And they came back and beat the Clippers in overtime. That team at that time was 27-25. Since that time with LeBron James, the Lakers have gone, mind you, what did I say? 27-25. They've won 6 games. They've lost 17. And I think he sat out the last couple, but let's just say 27-25. If they had just won at 27-25, let's say that's 23 games. Let's say they split. Or say they won 2 games above 500 like they had been playing at that point. So you take 23 games, half is 12. Say they were 14-9. Do you realize 14-9 puts them only maybe a game or two back of San Antonio, where it got really hot to get to where they are? We'll talk about this more later. I just don't want facts to get in the way of truth. I just don't want facts to get in the way of truth. But I think it's funny to say the season wasn't a failure. Yeah, season was a failure. Got the opportunity to go to Pro Day yesterday. I talked about that a little bit on the show yesterday. Amazing to see so many luminaries there. So many people that know just so much about the sport of football. That was really cool. Honestly, that was really cool to be a part of. March Madness resumes today. I'm excited. About 2.5 hours, give or take, a little bit here or there. My bracket's busted. I got two brackets. I donated $40 unless Kentucky finds a way to come through and win this for me. I'm done. It's a wrap, whatever. I'm done. I'm toast. It is what it is. Yeah. You know what I'm saying. Yeah, it is what it is. You're out. But there are still some good games left to watch. I'm going to tell you a couple that I think you should really pay attention to. Bartek and Duke. LSU and Michigan State. And I know a lot of folks like the Gonzaga versus Florida State. I don't think that's going to be the game that everyone thinks. I think Gonzaga is going to handle Florida State. Texas Tech at Michigan. But Houston at Kentucky. If P.J. Washington isn't completely healthy, Auburn and North Carolina. Auburn likes to run. North Carolina runs better. Tennessee at Purdue. And Virginia at Oregon. Listen, this is the upset game. Listen to me one more time. This is the upset game. Oregon beats Virginia. Oregon beats Virginia. Said it right here on the Cave Show. Oregon beats Virginia. Tomorrow, can't wait. I have much more to talk about. We'll have some opening day stuff to get into. Some Final Four, March Madness, Bracket Busters, all this stuff to get into. So we'll get into that too as well tomorrow. We'll see what happens tonight in the NBA. Maybe we'll talk a little bit of that. And it's not, in my opinion, if Rosen from the Cardinals get traded, it's when is Rosen from the Cardinals get traded. Until mañana. Thank you so much. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. You can also get us at sportscave.com. Cave's always with a K. And you can get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Until then, this is PLR. This is the Game Show. Everyone have a great day. Take care.